From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A Texas congressman is introducing legislation today that would extend combatant status to the 41 civilians and uniformed soldiers who were wounded or killed at Fort Hood. The proposal centers around this month's shootings at the base, allegedly carried out by Army Major Nadal Hassan. NPR's John Burnett reports.
The bill would ensure that the victims of the Fort Hood shooting would be eligible for the maximum life insurance possible and for the Purple Heart, even though they died on an Army post at home. Representative John Carter, the Republican congressman who represents Fort Hood, called the November 5th shootings a planned terrorist attack, the same as the attacks against our forces overseas. He said in a statement, their lives would receive the same treatment, recognition, and benefits as if the attack occurred on a U.S. military installation in Iraq or Afghanistan. The shooter is believed to be a 39-year-old Army psychiatrist and devout Muslim who was allegedly upset the U.S. military was killing Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's been charged under military law with 13 counts of premeditated murder. The proposed legislation would only cover this incident. John Burnett, NPR News, Killeen, Texas.
President Obama and Chinese leader Hu Jintao have wrapped up their first summit meeting, pledging to cooperate on global issues ranging from climate change to nuclear disarmament. Though it appears both sides were somewhat short in terms of specifics on matters including human rights, currency valuation, and trade issues, the two leaders had clear differences. Following today's two-hour session, President Obama said the U.S. and China are looking for a deal at next month's climate change summit in Copenhagen. Then the president's words will rally the world. The Internal Revenue Service reports nearly 15,000 Americans have come forward to disclose information about their offshore bank accounts. The disclosures came after Switzerland agreed to turn over to the U.S. names of suspected tax evaders. From Miami, NPR's Greg Allen reports.
It's a story that began with the U.S. investigation of Swiss banking giant UBS, which earlier this year paid a $780 million fine for helping American taxpayers hide their offshore accounts. After months of negotiations, the Swiss government agreed it would turn over to the IRS the names of nearly 4,500 U.S. account holders. The IRS, in turn, announced an amnesty period through mid-October. Americans with offshore accounts could avoid criminal prosecution and face reduced penalties if they came forward voluntarily. In the days before that amnesty program expired, the IRS says it was flooded by thousands of taxpayers seeking to disclose their offshore accounts. Accounts ranged from $10,000 to $100 million and were on deposit with banks in 70 countries. Meanwhile, the U.S. government continues its prosecution of suspected tax evaders. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 30 points today to end the session at 10,437. The NASDAQ closed up 5 points. The Standard & Poor's 500 was up a point today. You're listening to NPR News. Police in North Carolina now say they expect to file additional charges in connection to the case of Shania Davis, the 5-year-old girl whose body was found dumped in a wooded area. The little girl's mother, Antoinette Davis, who reported her daughter missing more than a week ago, has already been charged with human trafficking and felony child abuse. A man seen carrying the child in a hotel surveillance camera has been charged with kidnapping. Police in Fayetteville, North Carolina, have alleged the little girl's mother sold her for sex. An autopsy is being conducted in the case. It was 20 years ago today, student protesters marched through the capital of what was then Czechoslovakia in what turned out to be the start of the Velvet Revolution. Bruce Kahnweiser reports from Prague.
Former President Václav Havel and current political leaders laid wreaths during candlelit vigils commemorating the struggle for democracy. And Havel read a list of names of those who participated in that struggle but have passed away during the past 20 years. Most of the commemorations have been more festive, concert, block parties, and inspiring speeches. The celebrations and ceremonies remembering the Velvet Revolution have been organized by non-governmental organizations, most notably one that bears Havel's name. But the failure of President Václav Klaus to organize any events at Prague Castle, where the president lives and holds office, has provoked public criticism, and his hostility towards the European Union and global warming prompted boos during some of his public appearances. For NPR News, I'm Bruce Kahnweiser in Prague.
U.S. mines and factories were slightly less busy last month. Just the latest indicator, consumers remain cautious about the strength of any economic recovery. Government reports the industrial production rate was up 0.1% in October, a smaller than expected increase. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.